Begin the current daf, Mesechtas Temur daf Dalet. Begin 7 lines down at the top of the Yemen. The Gemara continues explaining and elaborating on the brayz of the previous daf, which relates to the topic of our parak of our Mesechta, regarding Temur. That is, although generally there's a general category of if someone violates a lav sheyesh b'maisa, negative prohibition has an action related to it, then he gets lashes. But it's a lav she'ein b'maisa, if there's no action, the person does not get lashes. However, there were a few exceptions, one of them being the topic of our Masechta regarding Tumura, although no action is done, it's just done verbally, still one gets lashes. On that, the Braisa continued, Mishum Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina Amru, he said that not only the exceptions that the Tanakhama said, that even though they're lav she'ein b'maisa, they're like in the love, Af Hamaktim, he said, also someone that does beforehand, he prefaces, Truma LeBikurim, the separation of a Truma before Bikurim. As the Gemara is going to explain that the appropriate order is to first separate Bikurim, which are the first fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the 7 types of fruits that should be taken up to Yerushalayim. That's supposed to come before one separates Truma, which is approximately 1/50 that's given to the Kohen. Someone that doesn't do it in the right order is going to get lashes. So says the Gemara, might have Rabbi Chanina, what's the reason for his opinion? It is a lav she'ein b'maisa, it's just done verbally, why would one get lashes? So Makra, because the Pasuk says in Shemais, it says, your fullness and your mixture, you shouldn't delay. What's supposed to be first should be first. What's Meleascha and Demacha? So Meleya Eil Bikur. Your fullness, that refers to the first fruits that are the first ones to ripen. Now, the reason why Bikurim are called Meleya is because the moment that the produce is completed, right away in the beginning, that's when it gets established that this becomes obligated Bikurim. So that's regarding the fullness. Then, v'demacha ele truma. When it talks about the next thing that comes, is the mixture refers to truma, whereas Rashi explains, because since there's a unique mixture of truma when it gets mixed into a mixture of chul, and it requires a ratio of 100 to 1, so therefore the pasuk uses a terminology of dimua, of mixture, to refer to truma. And the Amra loisa'achar, and the Torah is telling you, don't delay meleya, which refers to do it after dimua, to go ahead and do Bikurim after Truma. That is telling you that no, the first appropriate order is to do Malay, which is Bikurim, and then if one delays it, one's violating this negative prohibition, and therefore one gets lashes, where, as Mefarshim explained, the way you see lashes over here, because it's compared to the negative prohibition right next to that, which is Makal, which we explained from the previous stuff, that there's also going to, it's one of the exceptions of getting lashes. Even the Lav Shein B'maisa, as we said on the top of the summit, so therefore that's going to be the same thing that we're learning from this Pasig, that according to Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina, then one's going to get lashes, even though it's a lav she'ein b'maisa, on being makdim truma for bikur. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings the same topic. Itmar, hiktim truma lebikur. If someone goes ahead and he separates truma before bikur. So we have machlekes, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanina. Charam aloika, one of them says, you get lashes for doing it. V'charam ain't aloika, the other one says, you don't get lashes. But the way the tradition was, it didn't say who says which opinion. Says the Gemara, it says time to Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, who dama loika. Obviously, we can prove that Rabbi Yisrael Chanina is the one who said that you get lashes. Midamar, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, from the statement of this brayso that we just quoted, that he says, Afa maktim truma lebikurim, so to someone who professes a truma before bikurim, is one of those cases, even though it's a lav she'ein b'maisa, that you get like in love. Obviously, he's the one that says, in this halacha, you get lashes. The Gemara asked, but Adrab, to the contrary, tis time to Rabbi Lazar who dama loika. But we could also definitively prove that Rabbi Lazar, who is the other disputant, that no, he's the one who says that you get lashes in such a case. Why? Because none. We learn the Mishnah says as demai. The Mishnah says the following case: if someone had in front of him 2 baskets of untithed produce, so you have to separate the shumas and maisers on both of these baskets. Now, Va'amah, the person said as follows: he said, the maiser, the tithes that I have to separate from this basket, shalzu of this one, should be in the basket bizu, in this other basket. Meaning, I'm taking the tithes from this one other basket for the untithed produce of this other one. Or a similar case that the Mishnah is about to talk about, he says, I want to take, usually you take from that basket, you take 1/10 of this one and another 1/10 from this one, you take it from the same one itself. Here he wants to say, no, this one that needs to be tithed, I'm going to take the tithes from that other basket. Or even if he says, you know what, A I'm going to take from B, and B I'm going to take from A. Where I'm going to take from one basket on the other basket, and from the other basket on the other basket. So says the Mishnah, Hareshayim Useres. So regarding this, in both cases actually, the first basket is going to have that it's considered tithed. Meaning that even though you didn't take from the basket itself, but the fact that you're taking tithes from some other produce, untithed produce, will fulfill the obligation of this basket. Now, as Rashi adds on, and this is even if he's not even didn't even separate the types yet, as the Gemara says in many places in Shas, regarding someone that has a barrel of wine, and he says that I'm gonna end up separating, he could drink it right away, even though he didn't separate right away from the barrel. And Rashi says for sure in this case where you could eat it right away because it's even from two different vessels. It's not like you're gonna by mistake have the Meiser in this one that you're drinking from. It's from a different basket at all. Now, however, in the second case that we described, Shal Zubazu Bishal Zubazu, the first case the Mishnah spoke about was only he's taken from basket A and basket B. So he's saying basket B is going to be considered tithe. We didn't discuss basket A. But let's say he says, I want to take from A on B and B on A. So here also, Harishayna Mu'seres, the first basket's going to be tithe because you took from one on the other one. But Vashniya Einu Mu'seres, but the second basket is not going to be fulfilling its obligation of being tithe. Why? Because the moment that he first says, there's two steps, from this one to that one, and then from that one to this one. From the moment that he says from this one to that one, the first one should be tithed on the second one, right away, that second one becomes exempt from the laws of tithes, because you already tithed it from this other basket. Now when you're saying from that on this, he's saying meaning from the second one should be tithed on the first one, there's no validity to what he's saying, because that second one was already exempt from the tithes that you separated from the first basket. Now that it's exempt, you can't take trumas and maisos from that one to separate on the other one, because that's what's called menapatra alachiv. It's already exempt, because the first one already exempted it. Now you're trying to take from the second one on the first one, it's exempted produce. You can't take from saying the produce, taking out a measurement of a tenth of the first one to exempt it. So therefore the second one's not going to be considered maisos. Now, a third case, says the Mishnah, Masrei Sehem. Let's say he says, their tithes. He's talking about these two baskets in the plural, not as in the case we just described where it's consecutive, rather simultaneous. It says, their maestres, ma'aster kalkala bechaverta, I want to tithe from one basket on the other one. Meaning, what he's trying to say is that the two tithes I'm going to end up separating from these two baskets, it's not going to be on each one on themselves. It's actually going to be from each basket, it's going to be maestre on the other one. So here, says the Mishnah, kares Hashem. So he has pronounced the name of maestre on them, meaning, it's already considered deconsecrated, it's already considered tithe from both of them. Again, like we said, even though he didn't actually separate it yet. And here you don't have the problem we said in the previous case, where, wait a second, once one works for the other one, then it's menapat alechiv. No, because here both of them are actually working at the same time from the same words that he's saying, and since it's happening simultaneously, it's considered menachiv alechiv. So there it will work. That's the Mishnah. Now, Vidma, we had learned regarding that Mishnah, that Rabbi Elazar Amar, he said in the cases that we described, specifically in the first two cases, loika. The one who does this gets lashes. Why? What happens is that he was separating Maisa Sheni in it, La Maisa Rishon Shebechaverta, before the Maisa Rishon in the other one. Meaning, in the beginning, before he says that he wants each one to work for the other one, what happens is that when you have untithed produce, there's a procedure, there's a procession, as we're about to prove, just like we're saying that you have to have Bikurim before Truma. You also have to have Maaser Rishon, the first tithe, which is coming to the Levi, and then you separate Maaser Sheni, which is the second tithe, which is then the owner takes that up and eats that in the city of Yerushalayim. However, in the case that we're describing, however, where he goes and he takes Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni for the other basket. Like we said, you're saying, oh, I want basket A to be Meiser on basket B. Now, if you're doing it for basket B, you have to do both its Meiser Rishon and its Meiser Sheni. So it comes out that the Meiser Sheni that you're taking from itself for the other basket is coming before its own Meiser Rishon. So you're being marked in Meiser Sheni, the Meiser Rishon. So too in the second case, when he says Shal Zubazu, Shal Zubazu, it's the same idea, where he's taking its own Meiser Sheni for the other one before it's taking its own Maaser Rishon. And therefore, one is going to get lashes. Because, like we said, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni also has to be done in this specific order, because the Pasuk says, Meliascha b'demacha lo yisachar, which is coming to tell you that you cannot have to delay Meleya and Dimua, which means to say that, just like you can't have Meleya after Dimua, that also Dimua has its own order. Now, just like the when it's demachal isa'achar is whatever has the terminology of dimua on it, you can't delay it. Now, Maaser Rishon has a lacha of dimua because it has in it mixed trumas maaser. When you give Levi Maaser Rishon, he has to then separate another type from that to give trumas maaser to the kayan. Whereas trumas maaser doesn't have any dimua. So therefore, what we're saying is that in the terminology of Maaser Rishon, we consider it as dimua, and therefore you can't have Maaser Sheni, which is not called dimua, to come before the Maaser Rishon. And therefore, there is also going to be the halacha of Baal Ta'achar of delaying, just like we have the halacha with not having Truma before Bikurim. So too, it's going to be the same thing with Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. Now, another source Rashi brings is that actually from Mechilta, which Mechilta says that how do we know it has to be in the specific order, Bikurim, Truma, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, is because actually Bikurim, the reason why it's the most stringent and it has to be done first, because it has four different names. Bikurim is called Rashis, Malaya, Truma, and Bikurim. Truma only has three names, called Rashis, Dima, and Truma. So therefore, Truma comes before Maaser Rishon, which Maaser Rishon only has two names, which are called Maaser, and in that Maaser, we said, has Truma's Maaser. Now, Maaser Rishon, also, at least that it has two names, comes before Maaser Sheni, which only has one name, which is just called Maaser Sheni. So therefore, that's what we're learning from this pasuk, Malayascha b'demacha, is that it's going on all these things, whatever is more stringent should not come second, rather, the more stringent has to become before the more lenient halacha. And therefore, just like Rabbi Elazar says that you get lashes if you do Maaser Sheni before Maaser Rishon, so too, obviously, he would agree that you get lashes if you do Truma before Bikurim. So to Stayim, we have conclusively proved that it's actually Rabbi Elazar who holds that you get lashes for being Makdim Truma for Bikurim. Just like we're saying, it's even further. He says, even if you mock the Maaser Sheni and Maaser Rishon, you get lashes. So, says the Gemara, no, he's the one who says you get lashes. So, says the Gemara, wait, so what are you going to tell me? That Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, he's the one who says you don't get lashes? But let me cash Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Then we have a contradiction, because we just quoted him before that he's the one who says, no, afamakim trumal bikurim, that even though it's a lot of shame and maaser, you get lashes. How could both of them say that when we know the tradition is that one of them says that you don't get lashes? Says the Gemara, no. You're right, we definitely proved that Rabbi Elazar holds you get lashes. And actually, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, we're going to re-qualify his whole statement that we thought up until now in the Braisa's Ketin Tamid Beis. Apaturukai. He's actually going on the Tanakhama regarding exemptions. I mean, there's no difficulty in Rabbi Yisrael Chanina's opinions. Because of Hachikama. This is what the Braisa is saying. The Tanakhama said that you don't get lashes. Why? Because the Tanakhama said that besides the exceptions, is lav she'ima ma'ise ein loikinov. When you have a negative prohibition that has no action, you don't get lashes. And that's what the Braisa continued and said, Mishum Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Amru, in his name they said, what is he coming to say? That af amaktim truma libikurim. Also someone that goes and says and designates the title of truma before he designates bikurim is also a lav she'ima ma'ise that you do not get lashes on. Not like we were reading it up until now. We thought he was adding on to the exceptions of the rule. No, he's going on the rule. What is a lav she'ima ma'ise you don't get lashes? Says Rabbi Chanina, even maktim truma libikurim, meaning in what he actually disputes Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says you get lashes. He says, no, that's also a lav she'ima ma'ise that you do not get lashes on. Now that the Gemara wonders. Umayish no meimer delaki, then why is maktim truma libikurim, which we're now interpreting for him that he says you don't get lashes, different than tumura, which are trying to swap the sanctity of a carbonate to a chulna animal, that one does get lashes, and Rabbi Chanina agrees to that, because he's just amending to the Tanakhama this statement, but the Brice has said, chutz minishbo meimer, for taking a oath in vain, or for doing the tamura, we said you get lashes. So we had previously explained why. It's a lav shema meisa, why do you get lashes? So he said, because with his words, he's activating an action, because when he says this should take the place of this one, the reason why it's activating something is because he's taking something that initially was chulin, and he's making it into kaddish, into that it's holy, this tamura animal. So, says the Gemara, said, maktim truma libikurim, nami liliki, said, when someone does truma before bikurim, should also get lashes, mishum dibidibur asa maisa, with his words, he's also doing an action, because he's calling it a name, and he's bringing on the sanctity of truma on this thing, which is creating an activation of sanctity before Bikurim. So they also then should have the same logic of getting lashes. Why is Rabbi Yisrael Chanina say it the way we're interpreting now, that you don't get lashes? So Amr Bavan, he says, you're right, but Shani Hasam, there in the law of being Makdim Truma LeBikurim is different. You're right. Maybe you should get lashes because it's a Maisa through his Dibur. But the reason is that it's a delav. It's a negative prohibition, like we're saying, of Malayascha B'demach Loisa Acher, Shenitik La'Sehu. You're right. Even the negative lav she yesh be maisa, if it's rectified with a positive commandment that equals it out, that could rectify it, then you don't get lashes for the violation of the negative prohibition. There's something like it says a pasuk in Midbar. It says, and the gear says, Mekol mat naisechem terimu. From all your gifts, you should go ahead and make an elevation. Now, in general, the Gemara expounds, and this is brought later on in the next daf in the Hamad Beis, regarding a situation where if the maisris, which is given to the Levi, was done too early. It was done when it was still in the pile, and it was the Levi took his Maaserishin before the Kohen got his Truma, which that's a violation of Lo Ta'achar, of not delaying that which is supposed to be earlier, where he did Maaser before Truma. Now, that's what the Pasuk is coming to be Menatik, this Lav, instead of getting Malkus, and is saying that, okay, now you did this wrong, but all your gifts that you got, you Levi, take Truma from it, because you beat the Kohen from getting his Truma. You're supposed to get only after Truma is taken off. Now, although, actually, these psukim are not near each other, but still the Gemara assumes that, according to this interpretation, that it's still considered lav shenitik la'aseh because there's still a positive commandment related to it, and therefore, you're not going to get lashes for that because it's telling the Levi, you know, from all your gifts, it's adding on, you should be taking off Truma, even Truma Gedayla, not just Truma Smaisa, that Levi always gives him as Smaisa, even Truma Gedayla. So therefore, since the lav shenitik la'aseh, that's why you don't get lashes on this case of being machted in Truma Lebikur. Now, Yasser Rav Dimi v'kam ala l'hoshmaitis. Rav Dimi was sitting, he's saying over this Gemara discussion that we were just talking about. And that Amalei Abaye. And Abaye asked on him, says, v'chol lav shenitik la'aseh lo'ilaki, is that really so, the way we're answering now for Abiyas B'chanina, that any negative prohibition that's rectified with a positive commandment doesn't get lashes? But v'omeimer. But you have the halach of Temura. The lav, where it's a negative prohibition, the Torah says, lo'yech lefenu, don't try to swap it. Shenitik la'asehu, which is rectified with a positive commandment, because the Torah tells you, look, v'im hamer, if you did do Temura, then yamer. The rectification is that you have to make that thing that you did wrong. The rectification is by giving it now a sanctity of Temura. And yet, Velaki, still, if one did Temura, he gets lashes. It's not like we learned in our opening Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Lo Yishad Mishar Lahamer. This way, we say, Akom Amir. It's not like you're permitted to do Temura. It's a prohibition. El Hashem Hamer Mum, it's just saying that if someone did Temura, then it's going to be activating that sanctity of Temura in that previous chul in the animal. The Soivig is Arbam, and there's lashes. So you see, even though it's a Nitig La'ase, that there's lashes. No, that's not difficult. The case that you're asking from Temura, there's two negative prohibitions and one positive commandment. Because you have lo yech lefeno, you have lo yomer, which both seem to say the same idea, but the two negative prohibitions are not to do Temura. And there's only one positive commandment. So that's why there's going to be 40 lashes. Because v'lo yosi chad ase, you can't have one positive commandment, v'oka trei lavi, an upper two negative commandments. Meaning you're right. Usually when there's one negative prohibition and there's one positive commandment, so we'll call that a lava nitig la'aseh, there's not going to be lashes for violating negative prohibition. But when there's two negative prohibitions and one positive commandment, then we're not going to say that, and then there's still going to be lashes. But on that, the Gemara continues to ask. But v'harei einus. But we have a situation on someone violates and rapes a virgin, dechad lav, where it's one negative prohibition, where the Pasuk says it within Devarim Chabez lo yuchol l'shalcha, what happens is if a man is ma'anis, a girl, a woman, where the halacha is, that he's not allowed to send her away anymore. He has to remain married to her. Now, v'chad esed, there's also one positive commandment, which says, v'loy si elisha, and for him she should be a wife, where v'loy osi chad aseh v'okr lav, and the positive commandment, which in a way ameliorates the problem, it doesn't uproot the negative prohibition, where the halacha of lashes will still apply. Where the Tanya, like we learned the following brisa, Einus Shigirish, a man who raped a woman, with halacha he has to remain married to her, but in violation of that, he divorced her. So says the brisa as follows, Im Yisrael, who, if he's a Yisrael, a non-Kayin, so Machzer, he takes her back, because he has a constant obligation of taking her back. And if he does take her back, he's fulfilling both the positive commandment and the negative prohibition. He's going to be fulfilling v'loy si le'isha, and he's going to be fulfilling of lo yuchol l'shalcha, because now he's not sending her away if he's taking her back. So he takes her back, ve'ino lekin, doesn't get lashes. Fine. But the question is from the next part. The m'kayin who, but if he's a kayin, where he doesn't have the negative prohibition of sending her, of not sending her away, because now that he divorced her, he can't marry her. A kayin cannot marry a grusha. So there most definitely says the Braisa, like he's going to get lashes because he sent her away. He violated Leuchel L'Shachach Koyamav. And what we see over here is that we don't say that the positive commandment, which is an interesting concept, because he doesn't have the positive commandment because he already divorced her, but the mitzvah's essay that there is in this halacha, that it doesn't uproot the negative prohibition to say that it doesn't get lashes, where the Braisa says most definitely he gets lashes, ve'ena machzer, and like we said, because he can't take her back. With contrast to the Yisrael, since he could take her back, it doesn't get lashed because he's not violating anything. But that's difficult according to the one who says, Alav shenitik la'aseh ein loikin. Here you have a lav in the essay, not two lav in the one essay, and yet still we see that the Kohen's going to get lashed. So what Shikamar answer is a different type of an answer. That's why it's not difficult. It's Kohanim Kamert. You're asking from a Kohen. Kahanim tam achrinahu. Regarding Kahanim, there's a different reason why. That because the Rabbi Rachman the Kedusha Yisrael, the Torah increases a higher level of sanctity to Kahanim. Like the Pasuk says in Parashas Emor, Emor l'Kahanim l'nefesh lo yitama, and now they become tamei to dead people. So since the Torah was more stringent in the sanctity of Kahanim, so they were more stringent in general regarding the Halacha than Yisrael, where yes, a Kohen is going to get lashes even though it's a lava nitig lasei, but a Yisrael, when it's a lava nitig lasei, will not get lashes, and therefore that we can still stand by our interpretation of Yisrael Chanina, that he said if someone's makdim trum l'bikum, he's not going to get lashes. We ask, why no lashes? It's essentially like Tamu, which is lav sheish b'maisa. But we said, and we stick by that answer, because it's lav hanitik la'esei, and although we had a case to nitik la'esei, but we said that there's two lavin, and regarding this case, lav hanitik la'esei, but we said that, yes, kahanim, and kahanim will get lashes, lav hanitik la'esei, but a regular Yisrael will not get lashes like by makim trimul bikurim, when it's a lav hanitik la'esei, when there's a positive commandment outweighing and contrasting to the negative prohibition, one will not get lashed. Now the Gemara goes back and continues, not regarding what we're just speaking about right now, of lava nitik la'esei, but rather the Gemara says, kitanoi, this that we had been saying up until now, regarding lav shein b'maisa, when it's a negative prohibition that has no action, that one doesn't get lashes, as we said, but possibly with a few exceptions. On that, the Gemara actually says that kitanoi, that it seems to be actually machlekes tanoim, if a lav shein b'maisa is not going to get lashes, or maybe even though it's a negative prohibition that has no action, will get lashes. Like we see in the following b'raisa. The Raisa brings a pasuk in Shemais, and the Gemara says, "Loisi sir me menad baker." That's a negative prohibition, not to leave that which had a carbon over up until the morning. One has to eat it, and Raisa becomes invalidated by being left over at its designated time. It becomes nicer, and that's prohibited for one to do. One has to consume it before that time. Now, says the Raisa, "Baha kasab litan essay." What the Torah is coming to do, it's coming to give a positive commandment, which it says there, v'hanoyser mimenu. It's saying that whatever is left over when it comes to morning, so you burn it in the fire, that's coming to say a positive commandment, achar loyser, say after the negative prohibition, which says you shouldn't leave it over up until the morning, which coming to tell you, it's a lav v'nitik la'asei, it's a negative prohibition that's ameliorated with a positive commandment, meaning don't leave it over, which is prohibition. You did, okay, do a positive commandment and burn it. That's because the Torah is coming to tell you in this halacha of Naisa that you don't get lashes because it's a nitag lasay, that's the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says, that's not the reason why you don't get lashes for leaving over a carbon beyond this designated time. It's because it's a negative prohibition that has no action related to it. Because when he leaves it over, he didn't do anything, it passed him, it just left it, and now it's beyond this time. Any negative prohibition that has no action related to it doesn't get lashes, and that's the reason. Says the Gemara, Machlal, the inference obviously is, Rabbi Yehuda Savalokin Lov. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, just from the fact that there's Ein by Maisa, you would get lashes. It's only because Nitig La'esi that you don't get lashes. So seemingly, like we said, that this is a Machlekes Tanoim, we were assuming up until now that Lav Shein Ein by Maisa, there's no lashes, although we had some exceptions. Here we see that actually Rabbi Yehuda holds that Lav Shein by Maisa does get lashes. Now, says the Gemara, but for Rabbi Yaakov, that he says that, no, that's not the reason why, it's because it's just there's no action. So this that says in the Pasi that, okay, whatever was left over up until the morning, you should burn it in the fire. So what's it coming to tell us? Since according to him, you don't need it to say that it's a mitzvah say to rectify and to ameliorate the negative prohibition. So what is it coming to teach us? Says because what else are you going to do with them? Meaning, if you're saying it's a positive commandment to ameliorate, fine. But according to him, no, you're not getting lashes anyway. So what's the Torah coming to tell us when it's saying that which was left over, you burned it in the fire? Just say you burned it. Sounds like it's coming to say something regarding that which was left over. You need it, this pasuk to tell you what we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim, the Pegim Lamed Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hatzama is the bones, Vagidin, and the tendons, which are parts that one can't eat, although there are elements over there that are supposed to be eaten or not being left over, because then there's marrow in the bones and there's tendons, or Vahanais, that which was left over. So Allah is, Yisrafu B'shisha Asr. So these are nicer parts of the carbon Pesach that weren't eaten. So on the morning of the 16th, you'll go ahead and you burn it in the fire, meaning but not in the morning of the 15th, because the Seder night is the night after the 14th, which is the night of the 15th. In the morning of the 15th, once it's nicer, you don't burn it then, because that's Yom Tov, and you'll burn Kachem on Yom Tov, except in actual carbon. But leftover Kachem, you can't burn on Yom Tov. Now, Chal Shisha Asalis B'Shabbos, but if let's say the first day Chol HaMoed, because in Eretz Yisrael there's one day Yom Tov, and then there's that, let's say the 16th is Friday, is the 15th is Friday, the first day of Pesach, and 16th on Shabbos, then Yisrafu B'Shiva Asr, then you burn it on the 17th of Nisan, which is on Sunday. L'fishen teichin, because this halacha of burning the nicer does not override lois the Shabbos, lois the Yom Tov, not to do malach on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Now, v'am chizkia and v'chin ton b'chizkia, something was taught in the Brais and the Shiva of chizkia. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because Amakra, the Pasuk says, and this is the Pasuk we quoted before, and this is what Rabbi Yaakov does with the Pasuk, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, says, v'anaisa mimeno ad baker, this was left over up until the morning, be'esh tesreif, when the fire you'll burn it. Baha kasa litin, the Pasuk is coming to give baker sheini l'seifasa, a second morning for its burning, which is the 16th and not on the 15th, because that's how he interprets the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, don't leave it up until the morning, which that's the first Monday, the morning of the 15th. You have to eat it by the Seder night. Now, if you left it over up until the next morning, which the Pasuk says again the same words, the Pasuk says, "Vanoisa mimenat baker," what's the redundancy? It's saying that which morning? The morning after that, that of the 16th, then Be'esh Tesreifu, then you can burn to the fire, which that's the day of Chol HaShamayim. Again, if it's not Shabbos, but Shabbos can be the day after, but that's where you see the source that you're not going to burn the Neisser on the Yom Tov itself. That's what you learn from the Pasuk in the whole thing, which is talking about the first morning regarding that it becomes Neisser, the morning after that regarding that only then is when you're going to burn it, and therefore that's what you use the Pasuk for, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, who used the Pasuk to say that no, it's come to say the negative prohibition, and then the Lav Anitik L'Essay, that because he actually holds Lav She'im B'Maisa, you're going to get Leiken Love, unlike what we had set up until now, of the other pins that hold Lav She'im B'Maisa, ain't Leiken Love.